This is the sermon for the fourth Sunday of Advent, December 20th, 2015. We hear the story in the Quran of the birth of Jesus. The fourth Sunday of Advent lectionary texts feature Mary in some way. In all 3 years, either the announcement from Gabriel to Mary, or the angel's announcement to Joseph about Mary in the Gospel of Matthew, or Mary's visit to her cousin Elizabeth, or her song known as the Magnificat, are read on this Sunday, or a combination of those. And we will honor that tradition. The final hymn is going to be the Song of Mary based on her own song. But we're honoring Mary in slightly a different way. We just heard the story of Maryam, or Mary, giving birth to Jesus from the Quran. And this is Mary, or Maryam, peace be upon her, in the Muslim tradition. And so I hope it will whet your appetite for the Sunday starter class coming up in 2016 on Jesus, peace be upon him, in the Muslim tradition. And I hope it also whet your appetite to join our neighbors across the street a week from Monday. They've invited us over to celebrate the birth of Muhammad, and they have dinner for us and an opportunity to share in fellowship with them. I've sent an email out about that, so if you would like to go, just email Mary before Wednesday so we can give them a number. They said, don't bring any food, but if you must, you can bring a dessert or something like that, and they will share together. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to greet together and share what we have in common. Mary is highly revered by Muslims. All Muslims, including scholars, regard Maryam as the most pious woman ever and an example of faith. She is regarded as the holiest woman who ever lived. And even a minority of Muslim scholars regard Maryam as a prophet, the only female prophet. Prophets are the most important people in Islam and were especially chosen by God to teach the faith of Islam. Adam, Noah, Abraham are all considered to be Muslims. The beliefs of charity, prayer, pilgrimage, worship of God, and fasting are believed to have been taught by every prophet who has ever lived. Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets. The As-Shahada is the creed of Islam. There is no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. So Jesus, in the Quran known as Isa, is also a prophet of God. He's not the son of God. The first words of Jesus as an infant in the cradle are these: I am a servant of God. He's given me the book and made me a prophet. So the Quran is clear that Isa, or Jesus, peace be upon him, is a prophet like the other prophets. And the section on Mary and Jesus concludes, that is Jesus, son of Mary, a statement of the truth which they doubt. It's not for God to take a child. Glory be to him. When he decrees a thing, he only says to it, be, and it is. And the last line is regarded to be from Jesus. Truly God is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him. This is a straight path. So the they that doubt in the Quran refer to Jews and Christians. Jews, from the Quran's point of view, are in error because they do not regard Jesus as a prophet, and Christians are wrong because they call Jesus divine. The phrase, it's not for God to take a child, is found throughout the Quran to say that there is no son of God. God doesn't need children. There's no one begotten of God. All are made by God. And of course, that's a direct rebuttal of the Nicene Creed. So this surah or chapter sets the record straight. Jesus is a servant of God, a prophet, a messenger, and his message is the same as all the prophets, the truth of Islam. This is the straight path. Now, there are some marvelous ironies. Jesus is believed to have had a miraculous birth. He is believed to have performed miracles, and he will be the one to judge on the final day based on the law revealed in the Quran. Now, those are some similarities with Orthodox Christian views of Jesus. The irony is that many, not all, but many progressive Christians do not regard Jesus as divine and regard the miracles and claims about Jesus as son of God and so forth as metaphor or legend. So in one sense, Muslims believe more supernatural things about Jesus than do progressive Christians. Another interesting irony is that many contemporary Muslim scholars appreciate the work of the Jesus Seminar. That's the study of the historical Jesus. However, most Muslim scholars reject Western historical critical methods when it comes to the Quran. The Quran is not like the Bible, theologically. The Quran, theologically, is the Word of God, spoken by God through Muhammad, a perfect revelation. For Orthodox Christians, Jesus is the Word of God, a perfect revelation. So Jesus in Christianity is like the Quran in Islam. And I say that so we can recognize how important the Quran is for Muslims. It's like saying Jesus is the Word of God for Christians. That's what's at stake. So for Muslims, there's a devotional relationship with the Quran. You memorize the Quran in Arabic. You are close to it. You hear it 5 times a day. It lives within you. They are the first words you hear when you are born and the last words you hear when you die. The Quran is really only the Quran when it's in Arabic. An English translation, whether it's the one in the bulletin or the one that Don read, is a translation of the Quran. But the Quran itself, in Arabic, is God speaking to you, addressing you. It's almost like Christians who have a personal relationship with Jesus. So Muslims have a personal relationship with God through the Quran, and of course they respond through the 5 pillars of Islam. The al-Shahada, or the creed, there is one God and Muhammad is his prophet. Prayer, 5 times a day facing Mecca. Almsgiving, or charity. Fasting, and the Hajj, or the pilgrimage to Mecca at least once in a lifetime, if possible. So for Western scholars to ask Muslims to use Western historical critical methods to find the historical Muhammad or to evaluate the Quran as a human book would be like asking Christians to give up on Jesus as divine. Can you be a Christian if you do that? Well, most Christians don't think of Christians who do that as Christians for that very reason. That's what's at stake. And that's why there's so much resistance by Muslim scholars to go that way and regard the Quran as a human work. If you go there, are you Muslim any longer? Interesting ironies. Now, for those of us who are heretics in every tradition, foolishly, we tread to evaluate sacred texts and traditions from a human point of view. So I read this beautiful story of Mary by the palm tree, and the voice from below calls out to Mary, "Grieve not, thy Lord has placed a rivulet, a stream, beneath thee, and shake toward thyself the trunk of the date palm, fresh ripe dates shall fall upon thee. So eat and drink and cool thine eye." Now that sounds like the Gospel of Pseudo-Matthew, or the infancy Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to actually read from that Gospel on Christmas Eve. These are stories of the birth of Jesus. And in this story, written several centuries after the birth of Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and the infant Jesus are on their way to Egypt to escape Herod. Remember, the bad guy is going to kill all the babies. And here's the story from the infancy Gospel of Matthew. It came to pass on the 3rd day of their journey, while they were walking, that the Blessed Mary was fatigued by the excessive heat of the sun in the desert. And seeing a palm tree, she said to Joseph, "Let me rest a little under the shade of this tree." Joseph therefore made haste and led her to the palm and made her come down from her beast. And as the Blessed Mary was sitting there, she looked up to the foliage of the palm and saw it full of fruit and said to Joseph, "I wish it were possible to get some of the fruit of this palm." And Joseph said to her, "I wonder that thou sayest this when thou seest how high the palm tree is, and that thou thinkest of eating its fruit. I'm thinking more of the want of water, because the skins are empty, and we have none wherewith to refresh ourselves and our cattle." Then the child Jesus, with a joyful countenance, reposing in the bosom of his mother, said to the palm, "O tree, bend thy branches and refresh my mother with thy fruit." And immediately at these words, the palm bent its top down to the very feet of the Blessed Mary, and they gathered from it fruit with which they were all refreshed. That's the story as the inspiration for the cherry tree carol, which you will also hear on Christmas Eve.
So you can see from a literary point of view the sharing of that story with the story that's in the Quran. Now, Christians who enjoy battling with Muslims on the internet point this out in an attempt to prove that Muslims are wrong and that they, of course, are right. Conversely, Christians don't like it pointed out to them that virtually every story about Jesus has a literary parallel in the Hebrew Scriptures. For instance, Jesus escaping Herod's sword is likely a fiction based on Moses escaping Pharaoh's sword. You can go online and watch the two groups battle it out in chat rooms. And so this brings up a challenge. How do we have respectful conversation, build important bridges, accept another's point of view, and yet speak our own truth as well? It's the same challenge within our faith traditions as it is between them. Probably, if we can help it, we don't start with the sharpest disagreements. We might start with things that we share in common. When we discover another's sacred text, tradition, or belief, we try to hear it from their point of view and see what is beautiful, good, and true in it, even as we might approach things differently. A helpful way for Christians to approach the Quran is to read a respected translation and commentary that is respected by Muslims. The New Study Quran, which is the translation in the bulletin, has now just been published by HarperCollins. And that's the translation I used in the bulletin today. I had a chance to interview the general editor, Joseph Lombard, about it. I'm doing a series of shows on Islam coming up. And in the commentary on this chapter, in the Study Quran, it notes something very interesting. It notes that the word compassionate is used for God, or merciful. In fact, one-third of all references to God as the compassionate occur in this chapter. This chapter 19. Of the 99 names for God in Islam, the compassionate is featured in this surah about Mary and Jesus. 16 times, God is called the compassionate. In both Hebrew and in Arabic, the root word for womb is rahim in Hebrew or raham in Arabic. It's the same word that is used for compassion. So the compassion a mother has for her child is literally womb love. Mercy, compassion, womb love is the name for God. So these stories themselves reveal the character of God. So in this story in the Quran, Mary goes away to a deserted place and a veil, the word hijab, is placed between her and her family. And this is what prophets do, including Muhammad, to be set apart to receive a revelation. So Maryam's hijab, or veil, symbolizes her holiness, her set-apart time, her closeness to God. So when we see a Muslim woman wearing her hijab, that might be what it means for her. So while she is apart, this is Maryam, in a holy, sacred place, the Spirit of God comes to her. And this Spirit, in human form, believed to be Gabriel, speaks to her that she is going to have a pure boy. And she's astonished, as she is in the Gospels, how can I when I am chaste and have been with no man? And the angel says that God just says it is, and it is. So she becomes pregnant, and while she's under the date palm, she goes into labor. And she cries out in anguish, which is really the anguish of the prophets, who have an important task given to them by God that will also potentially put them at risk with other human beings. And in Maryam's case, it is giving birth without a husband. All the prophets have something to bear. There is a personal cost in receiving a revelation and being charged to deliver it. And Maryam witnesses to the compassionate, to God, by giving birth to another witness, Isa or Jesus. And while she's in distress, a voice tells her to grieve not. So, is this voice Gabriel, the angel, or is it Jesus, newly born? Well, the text isn't clear, and commentators will disagree on or differ about that. But the instruction is that there is a river, and the palm tree is full of dates. So, shake the tree, this voice says to Maryam, and she does, and she is refreshed. Cool thine eye is a phrase that means to be refreshed. And then he tells her to take a vow of silence, which is helpful, so she won't have to defend herself to her family. And then she goes and she sees them with her son. And they do raise an eyebrow. "Hey, Miriam, what gives? Your father wasn't evil and your mother was chaste. What's up with you?" And Miriam simply points to Jesus, and Jesus speaks, Jesus the infant. "Truly, I am a servant of God. He has given me the book and made me a prophet. He has made me blessed wherever I may be and has enjoined upon me prayer and almsgiving as long as I live and has made me dutiful toward my mother. And he has not made me domineering, wretched. Peace be upon me the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I am raised alive." And that's all the prophets, everyone raised alive at the final day. So in other words, Jesus is saying, "I'm a prophet, don't mess with me and don't mess with my mama." Now, where's what I take away from this story? I take away from this story that compassion is the link between Jesus and thus Christians and Muslims. Born of compassion is Jesus, womb love. And whatever we may think when we conceive of God, compassion is certainly God's character. That character is revealed at the birth of Jesus. Mary's womb is the place where the compassionate prophet is revealed, and thus a name for God also revealed. The 13th century Christian mystic Meister Eckhart said, "We're all meant to be mothers of God, for God is always needing to be born." So I take this story from the Quran as revelation. Regardless of how we conceptually think of God or how we interpret our religious beliefs, we can take away the truth that humans have the capacity to discover and even to give birth to compassion and to nurture compassion in our lives and in our relationships. Perhaps we are most human when we are compassionate, or we most reflect the divine image. Islam, when it is true to itself, and Christianity, when it is true to itself, are faiths that embody compassion. Now, it's easy to see the faults and the distortions of our respective religions. But what unites us and what our gift is to the world is the hope that we can live with compassion and mercy with one another and with all of creation. People often want to talk about the true meaning of Christmas. Well, I think we could look to the Quran as much as we look to the Bible. Christmas is where compassion and mercy shine in the darkness. It is refreshment like date palms and a pure stream. So may you receive the light and refreshment of compassion and share it with others. Amen.